Welcome to another episode of the Pop Culture Abstract Podcast. This is Jay, and this week I did a little bit of an audible. I had an interview lined up, recorded, all ready to go, but then Disney threw a wrench in my plans. They announced that there was going to be a new Star Wars trilogy and a new Star Wars live-action TV show. So I reached out to my friend Daniel Shoptow, who I know through Cardinal Writing, and we talked about the possibilities for what could happen on the new movies and show, and we talked a little bit of Star Wars Rebels and how we think this season and this show is going to end. Big announcement last week, Star Wars is going to have a new trilogy and a new TV show. So, I mean, there's plenty of options that they can pick from of existing stories. I was just curious to get opinions on what you thought would be a good way for them to start the new trilogy.
Yeah, it's really, I don't know, honestly. I know I probably should have a better answer than that, but, you know, given the fact that they're talking about an unexplored new kind of thing, you know, I don't know if they'll, I mean, there's obviously the option of going, even if it's not 10, 11, and 12, going in the direction after whatever happens after episode 9. There's Old Republic, but I don't know. I think there's, you know, maybe we can talk about that. I think there's some drawbacks there too. And I guess the most original, maybe, I don't know if it's original, it would be to set a trilogy in some other part of the galaxy at the same time as like the original trilogy, or at some time point where we know what's going on elsewhere, but we don't know how these characters or these people are dealing with it, or they're dealing with something completely different in this. The Empire's kind of a. I don't know, not an ever-present thing. It's just kind of in the background. But I don't know. What are you thinking?
So since they're tapping Rian Johnson to do it, and he's doing The Last Jedi, part of me thinks they're going to go back and show The First Jedi and do a trilogy around that. Maybe how the Jedi were founded and maybe the rise of the Sith with them.
Yeah. I mean that's reasonable, and I think that's probably a very, very possible. My worry about anything that gets too far outside of what we're used to and characters that we know, even, you know, that's not a Skywalker or anything like that, is just how much the public is going to embrace that. I mean, yeah, it's Star Wars, and yeah, people will go, but, you know, if it's that far back, are they going to be able to get their head around, you know, what this is? I mean, we saw enough people had enough problems figuring out where Rogue One was supposed to go in the timeline. I don't know. I mean, am I just underestimating the public here? And it feels like there's got to be some sort of tie, whether it's characters, whether it's technology, whether it's time period, to at least some of the movies we're familiar with, for people to go to it in the numbers that we're seeing now.
Yeah, I'm curious about that too, because I think they could get away with doing The First Jedi, because Jedi is so synonymous now with like unexpected mental powers almost. Anyone knows what a Jedi is in our culture today. So I think they could play up that aspect of it and show, hey, this is how it all started.
Yeah, that's fair. You're right. I mean, if you've got the Jedi, you've got the Force. You know, it could be a trilogy that really gets into the mysticism of the Force, or of, you know, where this came to be. I also think there's a possibility, you know, I know you have read a lot of the books that are out now and the comics and stuff like that. They're doing a lot of setting up of the unknown regions, you know. Maybe you have a movie out there with the Chiss. Maybe you have The Rise of Snoke. You know, a trilogy where you're seeing how he comes into thing and then seeing how he gets into our main story. I mean, what do you think about that? Is that too much like the prequels that we saw earlier where you already know what's going to happen?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one because they really have been playing up the Unknown Region. They brought Thrawn in to Rebels, but I don't know if there's. I think it would be easier to sell people on Jedi than the Unknown Region because outside the casual, like the casual film goer won't know it. It's the hardcore people that read the books and watch Rebels and read the comics that would be excited for it. I think it'd be a harder draw to pull people in for something like that. I mean, I would love to see that. Maybe that's something they could touch on with the live-action TV show, maybe.
Yeah, and that's fair. I mean, you're right. Unless you're tying it into Snoke, and that's the, you know, because that's probably the only figure that anybody would know out of a trilogy like that. And, you know, I guess we haven't seen The Last Jedi and see what happens there, or if he's in 9 or how compelling of a character he is. But there may, you know, there may not be that demand to figure out where he came from, or like you said, books or the TV show may be better to cover that. And I think the TV and books, there's so many interesting ideas, but again, I think so many of those ideas are good for those kind of things and not necessarily the movies. I think the movies have got to be, you know, that kind of big action, you know, you can't explain just a whole lot because, you know, people don't want to sit there and talk about taxation or trade routes. We've proven that.
Yeah.
So, you know, how, you know, some of these things that I hear people banding about, I'm like, yeah, I'd love to know more about that. But is that going to be able to do that in a 2.5 hour movie and make it interesting versus, like you said, episodes of TV shows or some sort of filling a novel?
Yeah, and I think we've seen a lot of the criticism with the Clone Wars was some of that political stuff. I mean, it was supposed to be a kid's cartoon, but they got a little more into the political side, which for an adult is entertaining, but a kid, I don't know. My kids didn't seem to care about that at all. So if you were going to try to pull that into a regular TV show, I don't know if that would necessarily work. I mean, one of the big criticisms of The Force Awakens from hardcore fans was they didn't like the fact that they didn't explain what was going on with the politics side of the movie. But I'm like, a casual filmgoer doesn't necessarily care about that.
Right. I mean, you know, we are in an era that people do, you know, they've watched Game of Thrones, they've watched, you know, they used to watch House of Cards and things that do have those political elements to them. So there is a way to sell that. But you're right. That's part of the problem with Star Wars. And it's not a problem per se. But the fact that is that audience is very wide ranging. You've got 4, 5, 6 year old kids watching these movies, and you've got people that are, you know, our age, older people that have grown up with it, and trying to find something that hits for all audiences like that is a difficult thing. I mean, you can toss in a little bit of the political side here and there, but doing a whole movie on it, then you lose the younger ones.
Yeah. So with the TV show, would you be more in favor of an anthology type story where maybe one season deals with one era and then the next season jumps to something like the unknown or the like unknown regions, and then the third season goes on and shows, I don't know, maybe something that we've seen in a book, like they adapt Aftermath or something like that?
Well, you know, we have seen anthologies do pretty well. The only thing I would think, and maybe it just depends, I mean, you look at the expenses and costs of these things, because this is, you got to figure a Star Wars TV show is going to be quite pricey with everything that goes along. So will they want to reuse sets and stuff like that? Not that they couldn't do that in an anthology too. That might be interesting. Of course, you know, part of me, I'd just rather have, you know, 3 different shows, but yeah. instead of that way, but it would make sense. I mean, you know, people talk about a Rogue Squadron TV show, which would be interesting. My personal pick for the next animation show was a Luke Skywalker after Return of the Jedi hunting down Force-sensitive people, setting up his academy. I don't know if you could do that live action because you'd have to recast Luke Skywalker, which they may not want to do. But there are a lot of different options to go that way, and it might be best to, you know, those, none of those may be where you could do 2, 3, 4 seasons of those. I mean, they've already done Clone Wars. We've seen what Rebels. unless they wanted to do something, like I said, setting up the First Order, or setting up the First Order, but also setting up the New Republic, in a show that's set after 9. But I don't think they can do that, because from what I understand, they're planning on the show being ready by 19. And I mean, well, I guess episode 9 would be out that year in theory, but you're kind of running right on top of each other, which maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah. And the way this current trilogy is working out is they're not going to have the breaks in between the movies like they did with the first two trilogies. So maybe that first season could be setting up for 9, but at the same time, I mean, it could go boom, 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 all three of them right in a row. It's hard to say.
I also wonder if they'll use that time period to do that 30-year gap, you know, of what happened after Jedi. I mean, well, that's what I'm saying, but
yeah.
You've also got, you know, you've got that, and then you've got, you know, whatever happens after 9. I don't know. I think there's lots of different issues, and I think that's the thing, is we're going to be sitting here talking about this for quite some time, because there won't be any, you know, they won't be even casting for a show probably for another 6-7 months, I would think, at the very earliest, and probably not until after Han Solo's in the theater will we hear anything else about either one of these things.
Yeah. So I guess my sticking point with the show is going to be, it's going to be near impossible to do anything with existing characters between Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens, because, yeah, you're going to have to recast, and a lot of fans are not going to be happy about that. It's one thing to have a cartoon where you have a different voice doing it, which we saw with, I mean, Clone Wars,
right.
And no one had a problem with it, but a live-action show recasting Luke Skywalker, I think a lot of people would probably be upset about it.
I guess it'll depend on how Solo is received next year. I mean, they've obviously recast Han Solo there. Excuse me. And we'll see if people can accept Alan Alderaik. I mean, I know he's not going to do a TV show as Han Solo, don't get me wrong. You'd have to recast it again, but once that seal is broken, if you will, and I think, I don't know, for me, you know, I don't want them to recast Leia in 9. I feel like putting a different actress in 9, trying to, you know, will not have the same impact as, you know, as Carrie Fisher would have.
Yeah.
You know, you should lose something. But if for a TV show, if we're going back in time to when they were younger, I think I could handle that better. I think I could handle a recasting, I mean, better, because there's just no way otherwise to do it, and I want to see those stories. You know, you're not going to spend the money to de-age Mark Hamill every time you want Luke Skywalker on the film. So I think I could, but you're right. There's going to be some people that would, you know, get the pitchforks out and say, we're not doing it.
Yeah, and I think it's a little different for Solo, since they're going back and doing a young Solo. But when you have Mark Hamill in Return of the Jedi, and then you have Mark Hamill in Force Awakens, and then there's a gap there, and you bring someone else in, I think that's where people probably have their issue.
It's very, very possible.
So, I know you're big into the Legends universe. You've read a lot of those, haven't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. But, yeah, I've got most of them floating around at some point in time.
So, is there any story there that you'd like to see, like, adapted and added to the current canon?
I don't know. I know the last main arc, where Luke was kind of going around the galaxy and finding all these different ways the Force is established or understood, was kind of cool. I don't know if you could do that in a TV show or not. I think that would be kind of difficult to do. Of course, you've got the Vong series, but I think there's a lot of folks that weren't real big on that. And I mean, that's a tough one to explain, I think, overall. And that was such a big, of course, you know, it was plenty of stuff there, but then you'd have to redo a lot of it too, because it was, you know, 3 Solo kids and they were so big in that, you'd have to really, really revamp that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, unless you get it to, you know, and you can't really do the Thrawn trilogy anymore.
Yeah.
Unless you tried to do that. I guess you tried to work it where that, you know, Thrawn, and we don't know what happens to Thrawn in Rebels, but, you know, assuming he goes off into the unknown regions at the end of it, you know, maybe at the you've got Thrawn returning at the end of Jedi and working with Snoke somehow. You know, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, is there anything that you thought that was interesting to reset up?
I'm not as well versed in the Legends universe. I mm-hmm. read like the Thrawn trilogy when it came out and Rogue Squadron and a few of them, and then I stopped reading them until they wiped the canon and started over.
Yeah, you didn't miss a whole lot.
Yeah, I've been going back and picking up bits and pieces here and there. Like, I've just started Reavan a few weeks ago and slowly working my way through that. But I think I'd like to see a lot of the Old Republic stuff. I like the idea of the Mandalorian War and maybe seeing something how that went down, because you've heard reference to it and mm-hmm. how the Mandalorians used to be like a warrior culture, and you've not gotten to see that since they've redone everything.
That's true. That's true. And that's definitely something that could work as a TV show as well, when you get into, you know, Mandalorians flying around. When we've seen how, you know, Rebels and Clone Wars really tapped into that Mandalorian culture. So there's obviously, you know, some people there that are interested in that. You know, I don't know. And then, you know, there's always, you know, seeing what happens at the end of Rebels. I mean, we know Hera survives, but we don't know any of the others. You know, yeah. If there's some way to bring a Sabine back or something, you know, with some sort of Mandalorian, if you have to did it after Jedi, that could be interesting as well, to have that kind of tie to the cartoons.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, because I mean, they've got a lot of ways they can go, depending on what they do mm-hmm. at the end of Rebels.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that open at end of Rebels was pretty wide open. I mean, it feels like Kanan's not going to make it, but there's so many other ways that, you know, some could, some couldn't, some might be off the galactic grid, if you will, for a while, but that doesn't mean they can't, you know,
yeah,
show back up.
Yeah. Now you got me thinking.
I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's really so many options of stuff they can do. So, I mean, and really, my guess is they're going to go something completely brand new. They're not going to take, they might take bits and pieces of the old Legends universe and add it in like they've done with Thrawn. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of what we're going to see is just completely new stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, how exciting is this, I think, when they put this information out before the movie comes out next month? How exciting is that? Because they've got to love this movie to make that kind of commitment to Rian Johnson. And I think that means, I mean, from everything we've seen, it looks great. But I think knowing how hard it is to get in Kathleen Kennedy's good graces, you know, for them to say, not only, hey, we don't want you to do another movie for us, we want you to be in charge of another trilogy. I think that says a lot.
Oh yeah, I completely agree. I mean, we've seen what, 4 directors kind of shown the door
mm-hmm.
either before or during production. So if they have faith in Rian Johnson, I mean, that's a huge sign.
Yeah, I mean, and there's nothing that came out of that set, you know, but good stuff. No big problems, no idea that they're going to do reshoots. Like I said, no director, you know, being booted off or put to the side. I mean, this was about as perfect of a shoot, at least from the public's point of view, as there could be. And so I think they're really, especially after going through all the turmoil they did on Solo and, you know, and, you know, losing Trank before he even gets started and stuff like that, to have that experience, they probably said, yeah, we want more of that.
Well, and most movies are doing post-production work all the way up to the release. And I mean, they've been done a couple weeks now.
Yeah, which is pretty crazy. Well, I mean, if they're done, why don't we just get it out a little earlier?
Yeah,
I mean, that's what I'm thinking.
I wouldn't complain about that.
I mean, it can't be that hard.
Yeah.
You know, just drop it on a theater. You know, here, put this out there.
So, yeah, you're all up on all the new canon, right? All the books and everything?
The only one that I know I haven't read is the young adult Leia book that I keep wanting to read, the Leia Princess of Alderaan. But other than that, yes, I think I've read everything else.
So what's been your favorite so far?
You know, I got to say, I just recently read, and it's, again, a young the young adult type, but it's not a bad one. It's The Legends of Luke Skywalker.
Okay.
Was really interesting book, because it's four or five different stories of Luke Skywalker, and the idea is, you know, maybe they're true, maybe they're not. The first one I can say is this guy in a cantina type who's, you know, basically this, you know, everything we know about the, you know, A New Hope is fake news propaganda stuff. And he's telling this how this could have, you know, come around while Luke Skywalker's actually there, you know, interacting with him. He doesn't recognize Luke, but it's just kind of funny to see that whole movie shifted completely on its axis to this, you know, these were, it was the, you know, Kenobi gang or something like that. And, you know, they were con artists, and then the rebellion needed this thing, and the Empire wasn't really building a Death Star. So when the rebels blew it up, they couldn't deny that all this stuff. It was pretty good. Other than that, I'm trying to think. Thrawn was good. Most of them have been pretty good. It's, you know, the Aftermath trilogy is a little hard to read just because of the different, you know, the present tense type in it.
Yeah.
And I thought the last two books of that series were better than the first one.
Oh, yeah.
But for the most part, they've been pretty much, I think they've been all pretty well, done pretty well. And I think they feel better than the a lot of the Legends ones. But I think that's because the Lucasfilm story group's there to kind of shape those stories and keep them in line and keep them better focused with what they have. And we're staying pretty tight into that time period of, you know, right after Return of the Jedi, or, you know, during the original time periods. We're not venturing too far afield yet.
Yeah.
I mean, you've read most of them, right?
Yeah, I haven't gotten to Leia or the Luke one. I've got them both sitting here waiting to be read. Probably my favorite so far has been Thrawn. Mm. I mean, I had ties to the character to begin with, and the way they reintroduced him and everything they did with him, just, it seemed very Thrawn-like. They stayed true to the character, and I mean, you've got the creator of the character sitting there writing it, so he wasn't going to change the character a whole lot.
No, it was interesting to see how he could, you know, for the most part, what we know about Thrawn now versus, you know, with what he's written and what we've seen in Rebels, still doesn't counteract anything we saw in the Thrawn trilogy. I mean, some of the actions can't happen because of the way the movies are now.
Yeah.
But for the most part, that trilogy is still very relevant. And Thrawn seems like the exact same character that we've been seeing. So it is good. And of course, they've got a sequel coming next year, I think.
Yeah.
Which will be good. I don't know. You go back enough, far enough. I mean, Lost Stars was pretty good. A different look at Star Wars. I mean, you don't get the romance angle that often, but to see all these different points in the Star Wars trilogy from, you know, different point of view,
mm-hmm.
Especially an Imperial point of view, was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I'd never really thought about that until I read it, and I'm like, oh, well, I could see how, especially in the culture we live in where we hear about terrorist acts all the time, I mean, mm-hmm. Well, that makes a lot of sense seeing it from their point of view. But then when you see the whole picture, you have sympathy for them, but then you don't because you know mm-hmm. what's really going on.
Well, and you saw them, it's like, oh, we're building this big, huge Death Station, but it's only to deterrence. We're never actually going to use it.
Right.
And then they use it, and then it's kind of, you know, how do we rationalize that as an empire? It was hard for some people, and it was interesting to see.
Yeah.
There was another book that just crossed my mind. It's from the one that just came out recently, From a Certain Point of View.
Yeah.
The 40 stories tying into the original movie. I really enjoyed that because, I mean, I'm sure you didn't read those back in the Legends era, but they had the Tales from Jabba's Palace.
Oh, yeah. I did read those ones.
Yeah. You got those. You know, so it was the same type of thing where you had all these, not as much as Tales from Jabba's Palace, where everybody seemed to interact. You know, the stories kind of twisted in and out of each other with the same things. But to see those slices of the movie from a, you know, from the point of view of that character that was involved. Although I really appreciated the one where the guy, where was it, Motti, filed the HR complaint against Darth Vader for choking him in the meeting.
I haven't gotten to that one yet. I'm about halfway through it. But
that
yeah,
that was pretty good. The last one in there is written by Tom Engelberger, who did the Origami Yoda books.
Yeah,
it's very funny. I mean, it's really funny. But I mean, some of these are really, most of them are serious tellings of the story that are very, very interesting. To see how this goes about, and what people were thinking, while they go through it.
Well, yeah, because I mean, I never would have thought of a story from a sand person's point of view or a Jawa's point of view. So it was a lot of fun so far.
That's a good one all the way through, and some are better than others, but for the most part, I think they're all pretty interesting, and like I said, just go straight through the movie. So you just kind of, you can see that as you go. And you probably haven't got to it yet, but the Yoda one is good.
I have done that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Yoda one is quite good, I thought. And to see how that, you know, how he might've reacted to some of the, you know, some of the things going on at that time, feeling it through the Force, was pretty interesting.
Yeah. The other book I liked a lot was Dark Disciple. Clone War script that they adapted.
Yeah, that one was pretty good too. Although, man, I was reading that and I'm like, boy, I don't know how they would have actually made that. Just because it felt darker and more adult than most of what we got out of the Clone Wars.
Yeah, and I mean, it really didn't paint the Jedi in a great light by trying to assassinate Dooku and sending one of their own over and having to become corrupt. I mean, it was a very dark story, but I was glad to see an end for Ventress, and I really liked Quinlan Voss a lot.
Yeah, it was very interesting, like I said, and just to have that relationship that they had, and I just, like I said, I was just reading it, and I'm like, yeah, this is great, but how do you make this into a cartoon that, you know, 6-7-year-olds are watching? And I know Clone Wars dabbled in dark things here and there, and of course it's all about war and in some degree, but you know, still trying to, you know, have this, you know, basically romantic relationship between Jedi and you know, former Sith, and trying to turn him to the dark side and all this kind of stuff, is, man, that's gonna be hard for some little kids to get their hands on, I think.
Yeah, and it made me really curious to see what else they had planned. And like, maybe they'll adapt some more of it. I mean, I know they did a comic for the Darth Maul story that they had to finish his arc there. But I want to see what the rest of it was planned out. And maybe they could do that for one season of the next cartoon and finish it.
Maybe so. I mean, we saw, I think at Celebration this year, they put up a little animatronic clip of Cad Bane versus Boba Fett.
Yeah.
That there was part of a story that they were going to do that never got completely developed. And I mean, there's so many characters still out there. I mean, look, you've got Cad Bane, you've got Hondo, and some of those bounty hunters that were very interesting. Some of them were interchangeable, but I think especially like Bane and Hondo, is there something there for an anthology? Of course you have to, you know, you don't really want to be rooting for the bad guys all the time. But you know, having them pop up again would be nice.
Yeah, I agree. So I'm trying to think if there's anything else.
And I think Hondo should show up in the Han Solo movie too, but I don't think he's going to.
Oh, that would be great.
That would be, you know, because I mean, that would make sense. He fits in that time period. He should interact somewhere. Either him or Bane should somewhat come across some smugglers, I would think.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of speculation as to whether we'll see maybe Boba Fett show up.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be surprising. You know, at one time, you know, this was idea of a Fett and Solo movie.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not going to be that way. But I don't know. I mean, there's an argument to say that, you know, we always associate Fett and Solo as this, you know, rivalry somewhat fueled by those Legends books. But, I mean, when you look at it, there's no particular reason to think that. I mean, obviously he probably knew who Solo was and things like that, but, you know, did they have this, you know, do we really need to see this? Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I think it, I mean, if they want to develop it, that's fine. But I think we kind of sometimes put more than is actually there in that.
So maybe we'll get the backstory of Greedo and Han Solo that they touched on in From a Certain Point of View too.
Yeah, that's possible. That was an interesting one. And completely different from the Legends write-up of their rivalry, if as it were. Of course, that tale, but Tales of Jabba's Palace, where basically Greedo was some sort of patsy that they sent up there to get killed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was interesting. And I've never really seen Han Solo as this Captain Kirk type who was seducing all sorts of women of whatever species.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess it's possible.
Yeah, that could be interesting to see.
Yeah, it would be. I don't know. I'm interested to see what this Solo movie, how this turns out. I'm a little hesitant. I mean, obviously, I want to go see it, but I'm a little hesitant just because it feels like it's falling into, at least for a little bit we know, falling in some of those prequel traps of let's explain everything. Let's show how he got the Millennium Falcon. Let's show the Kessel Run, things like that, which are interesting, but I don't know that you need, you know, this checklist. I feel like sometimes movies like that are just checklists and not an actual story.
Yeah, and just hearing that they've reshot like 95% of the movie and then they haven't shown any clips of it yet. Because normally by now we'd have at least a teaser and a few small things, but it's been pretty close to the vest so far.
Yeah, and I mean, part of that is just, yeah, you're right, the reshoots and stuff like that. But, you know, part of it is because this is going to be so different for them marketing Solo than any other movie just because it's only 6 months after Last Jedi.
Yeah.
They're not going to put stuff out about Solo while they're making the marketing push for Last Jedi. They don't want confusion and they want to, you know, really put this in. So I don't expect to see a trailer for Solo until, you know, early to mid January, you know, and by that time you're only 6 months away. Are you going to get two trailers? Are you going to get, you know, commercials? It feels like they're going to have to cram this in. I mean, if you're selling toys on the same type of schedule as you did with these other movies, you're putting them out in like March.
Yeah.
I don't know how this is all going to work, and I don't know why. I've been really excited and really enjoying this December releases. With episode 9 going back to December, you know, it feels like this would have been just a real good time to move Solo back and just kind of continue that, at least for right now, continue that dominance in December. But they've got their reasons, I guess.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense because, I mean, nothing else is really coming out at the time. And you've got, I mean, Christmas break for kids, and they'll go see it multiple times. I mean, we went and saw the last two Decembers, we went and saw both Star Wars movies multiple times because we had the time off and we wanted to see it again.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the, you know, and that's the time of year you get, you know, maybe you get movie gift cards or you get extra money here and there from people or whatever. You just, you know, it's, and you have the time, like you said, to get out there and see them before the, you know, everything rolls over again. So, and you don't, I mean, I know Marvel, and of course Disney's got both of them, so they don't care. But I know Marvel is kind of spreading their stuff out a little bit more. You know, you got February and November and all this kind of stuff. But it just feels like everything's going to be hitting in that May-June time period. Why compete with yourself or other big movies? You know, just own that December spot.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if maybe we do get our first glimpse of Solo before The Last Jedi.
It's possible. I mean, I've thought of that before too, and that would make some sense to see that trailer before that. But then, I mean, like I said, then you get everybody's buzz is, are they talking Last Jedi? Are they talking Solo? Are they, you know?
Yeah.
You're diffusing your talk, but I mean, that it would make some sense too to see that there, and in theory, they should have a trailer ready by then, at least some sort of teaser.
Yeah.
Some sort of small teaser, maybe just a shot of Han Solo in the title card. I don't know.
Yeah.
And we didn't even really talk about this last season of Rebels either. So
I haven't started it yet, actually.
Yeah, that would be why we haven't talked about it then.
The last couple, like the first two seasons, we didn't get the Blu-rays until Christmas, so we were always behind on them. So this time I was able to get on in the Disney Now app, and we've been able to get caught up on 3. So 4 is out there. We just haven't had a chance to sit down and watch it yet.
Makes sense. We've typically just recorded it off of the Disney XD and try to watch it. In fact, we just watched the finale tonight.
Yeah.
Usually watch it sometime that week. So, and they've been cramming them in. I mean, they did, you know, they've done 9 episodes in 5 weeks.
Yeah.
So, but now you've got until, I don't think they've said when it comes back in the second half. So
I think it's supposed to be in January.
Is it January?
Yeah.
They wouldn't, you know, we watched Rebels Recon even afterwards too, and they didn't even talk about it then. So it's sometime in 18, but I wasn't sure if it was January or it might even be a little later.
Yeah.
Depending on, cause they'll only have 7 or 8 episodes, I think. Maybe 7. I think there's 16 episodes this year, so there's only like 7 left.
Yeah.
So they may try to stretch that and get it through March or so. And they probably want to, you know, that 6 months they got between movies, they'll try to maximize that with Rebels in there too. So
what do you think the fate is for the crew?
You know, obviously, like I said, Hera and Chopper obviously survive.
Yeah.
In fact, we saw them in Forces of Destiny all the way to Endor. So whether, I'm not sure Forces of Destiny is completely canon or inspired by canon or what, but still, we know. Good enough.
I think it's listed as canon on Wikipedia. Wikipedia.
I mean, they're not putting out much stuff that's not canon these days. So
yeah.
I would think so. You know, Kanan doesn't survive. I mean, there's just really no way that he makes it out, I don't think. Sabine, I could see easily going back to Mandalore, or staying with the Rebellion, I don't know. I think Zeb probably, I mean, he could go either way. He could die or he could stay with the Rebellion. And I think the biggest thing is what happens with Ezra, you know? I mean, I sometimes would, you know, before the whole idea of Yoda talking to him, you could argue that, you know, Yoda didn't really know that there was another, you know, Force user out there. But he obviously knows, you know, he knows them. The Rebellion knows them. It's harder for him to be this anonymous guy. I mean, there were ways to retcon him for a while, but it's getting harder and harder. So,
yeah,
I think either he gets, you know, I can't imagine them, you know, Disney killing off a main character like that, but something happens. Either he holes up on Lothal and never seen again, or it's kind of like the Ahsoka thing where she walks off and you don't know if she's alive or not.
Yeah.
Or he's sent off, you know, there's some idea, you know, that, you know, they try to chase down Thrawn and he's, you know, while he's escaping to his, you know, his home world and they, you know, wind up over there. I don't know. But there, it feels like, you know, a lot of down coming, which is hard to do on a cartoon Disney show.
Yeah. I agree with pretty much everything you said. Like, we know Hera and Chopper make it. I think Kanan dies. I think Sabine ends up with the Mandalorians. I think there's a good possibility Zeb goes back with the other Lasat.
Possible, yeah.
And then... Yeah. Ezra's the wild card there. And I think
maybe, as you're just saying that about the Lasats made me think, you know, Zeb and Ezra do have a relationship and, you know, it's those Lasats are kind of hidden. You know, maybe Ezra goes back with him and is there.
Yeah. Well, another thing I thought would be fun, but I could never see happening is something happens with Ezra. He gets disenfranchised with the Rebellion, and he goes off with Hondo, and they have their own space adventures.
That would be fun, too. It could be. I listened to some other Star Wars podcasts. They have speculated that there's something that strips Ezra of his connection to the Force. I'm not sold on that, because I think that's kind of weird, kind of not real Star Wars-y.
Yeah.
But, you know, that could be, you know... Could be something like that. Could be that he loses, you know, a few limbs and is not nearly as strong in the Force as he used to be. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many possibilities.
There are. And that's, I mean, you always think you know what's going to, has to happen. You think, yeah, all these Jedi have to be out of there and things like that. But, you know, we saw at the end of Clone Wars, everybody thought Ahsoka was going to have to die because she wasn't around in episode 3. And then we saw how they figured out a way to get her, you know, off the stage mm-hmm. and then brought her back for Rebels. You know, they're pretty creative people, so they could easily come up with something else.
Yeah. If you want to hear more of Daniel, you can check him out on Twitter at C70. He's also the host of the Meet Me at Mutual podcast that talks about Cardinal baseball, and he's the owner main writer at thecardsconclave.com. He also runs a Star Wars devotional website for those into Christianity. It's starwardevotionals.wordpress.com. So before I recorded, I went to social media to get other people's reactions. Tim on Facebook said the Old Republic, which we kind of talked about. It's very possible they could touch on the Old Republic with this new trilogy series. On Reddit, user Did You Just Assume said, first, I think that the new trilogy to be announced already means that The Last Jedi must be seen as something very special for Disney to have already announced a new trilogy. I think it is a great move for the fan base wise because it gives kids of this generation a Star Wars saga that is their own that they can remember, whereas now they can still watch the old ones but cannot claim it as their generation's Star Wars. It would be awesome if the new trilogy brought in the expanded universe in order to give us a more clarity on the origins of the Jedi-Sith conflict, or depending on what happens in the rest of the new trilogy, maybe have a new one set in the future where we can see a culmination of all the conflicts from the past movies all come together. I do not wish or think that it will be set in a whole new realm of Star Wars, because that would mean a new everything has to be created, and what makes Star Wars special and cool to everyone would be changed. I don't think that would ever go over well with fans if that happened. And I completely agree. Setting all new characters in a new era for Star Wars would definitely help the current generation have their own feelings about it. I think there's already kind of that divide, too, between the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy, where people of my generation that grew up with the original trilogy look down on the prequels, but the people that grew up with the prequels think they are just as good as the original trilogy. One other thing that I wanted to bring up, I had a picture on Facebook asking what standalone movies people would want to see, and it said choose one, and it was Fett, Yoda, Maul, Vader, Reven, or Kenobi. Joe replied to it, was thinking again about this the other day. I would give up all of these for a chance at a Darth Bane trilogy. So much history, so much adventure, all lost to the great Disney purge of legends. Just started rereading the series, I forgot how great it was. Now, this is a series I haven't really looked at, but I've heard nothing but good things about it. So it's very possible they did touch on Darth Bane in the last season of the Clone Wars cartoon. Maybe that is a possibility, and they can go into more of the Sith side of the story that we haven't seen before. This week's featured song is More to You from the band As December Falls.
So hey, what now you gonna do? And so hey, oh wow, that there was more to you. You said that there was more to you.